This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with K-State Veterinary College clinical professor and section head, equine medicine and surgery, long title, Dr. Lori Beard, with me today, and appreciate her being here today. And I know that we're going to talk about strangles, which is, of course, something that you really have to watch as a horse owner, and it can really cause some issues. And I guess maybe just some of the things you're seeing right now there at K-State, Lori.
Yes, we have seen in the hospital, we've certainly had a number of referrals of some complicated cases of strangles. Strangles is an infectious disease caused by a bacteria called Strep equi. And so it does seem like we've had a number of local farms having some issues with it.
And maybe things people can look for, what some of the symptoms are and some of the devastating effects from it.
Yeah, so the most common symptoms starting out might be something as simple as a fever. So that might not differentiate it from other viral diseases. But the other things that you may see are nasal discharge that's white or yellow in character. The other thing, it's called strangles because it gets into lymph nodes and can result in lymph node abscessation. And so one of the lymph nodes that can affect are the retropharyngeal lymph nodes. And so sometimes that actually can result in pharyngeal compression, and sometimes we'll have to actually do something to intervene. But the most classic would be that would say it strangles, snotty nose, and then lymph node enlargement to the place that's going to progress to abscessation.
So it's a lot worse, and it kind of sounds almost like a cold. I mean, in a way, when you're describing it, but it can get to a point where it's pretty serious for a horse.
It can. The majority of cases, it's a horse that has a fever, will develop an abscess, usually below the mandible. We might lance that, and usually with some bute and some time, the horse does well. There are some cases in which it can get complicated.
Now, is there any way to prevent something like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. How do you prevent strangles? So we used to think that strangles was in the environment. Like you got it, one horse would have it, can carry it with a fomite, water bucket, that sort of thing. And that can happen. What we know now is that horses that have had a strangles outbreak, we know that there are horses that are carriers. And so one thing would be important is to introduction of new horses. Where are they coming from? Have they been exposed to strangles? And there are ways to determine if a horse is a carrier or not.
Now, is it getting to the point, say you show horses and do that kind of thing, do you need to be worried about that? And what are the rules and regulations in that regard?
That is a great question. So showing horses, certainly your horses are going to expose to others. Certainly it might be the nose-to-nose contact. If you're showing a horse and you saw another horse in the area that did have a snotty nose, I would probably do my best to keep your horse's nose away from that horse's nose. Absolutely. If you're handling a horse that has a snotty nose, washing your hand after handling that horse. So you don't need to go overboard in a show situation like that, but just maybe notice things.
Well, in a way, it almost does sound like a common cold. I mean, washing your hands and kind of keeping away. I mean, there's some similarities, it sounds like, in a way.
Absolutely. It's a bacteria, not a virus, so that's a little bit different behind it. And then the other thing is, we know that some of these horses that have gotten strangles actually then can be carriers for weeks or months.
You say you've been seeing more cases. Any, kind of a guesstimate of the numbers that you're seeing, or?
Well, certainly we've probably had, I know of a barn, where it'd be 50 horses in a barn and maybe 35 horses that develop clinical signs with it. So it can be particularly frustrating when you get it in a large boarding facility. That's where it's difficult to deal with.
Okay. And while we're on the subject of, vaccinations, taking good care of your horse, your equine, when you talk about that, what are some other things that we need to be aware of too that way?
Yeah. So one of the things that's changed a little bit, if you do any horse showing and you go to rated shows, one of the things that they're going to require is your horse to be vaccinated for influenza and equine herpes virus 1 and 4. So those are viruses. The vaccines are quite good, but you need to be able to provide documentation if you go to that show that your horse has actually been vaccinated within the last 6 months.
Now, are we starting to see more cases of that? And is this, more right here in the state of Kansas or nationwide, or what are we talking about here?
So good question. Are we seeing more of influenza or equine herpes virus 1 and 4? Not really. What happened was that there was a number of shows that were implementing their own regulations, and so it got a little confusing about what was required. So what the USEF did was just standardize it and saying, hey, if you're going to go to an A-rated show, you're going to be required to provide documentation. That's why that's done, so everybody understands the rules. But no, I don't think we're seeing more cases necessarily. People are just getting more educated.
Okay, and there again, I mean, these are illnesses that can be pretty rough on a horse. And, you know, we always think they're such big, large animals, it's hard to believe how susceptible they are to some of these different things.
Yeah, for certain. And while we were talking about strangles, there is a vaccine for strangles, but that vaccine, although it does provide some immunity, it does carry its own set of problems. So that vaccine I only use if there's a good indication that we should be using it.
Now, carriers, would it be more reason, or would it make any difference to give them any vaccine of this nature?
The carriers, ideally what you do with the carriers is you identify the carriers, and then you can treat the carriers by, usually it's an endoscopy, flushing guttural pouches, those sort of things. The vaccine should be used for horses that may go into a facility that maybe has had a history of strangles a year ago, 2 years ago, and maybe there have been some horses that are carriers. That's when I would consider the vaccine. There are some problems with the strangles vaccine. One of the diseases we see with that is a disease called purpura. It's an immune-mediated disease, and so that can be devastating. So we want to make sure we're not vaccinating horses at risk for that disease. And the vaccine's not 100% protective either.
You know, as we get into the spring season, too, anything else we need to be careful about? And, of course, I know mosquitoes we're always aware of, and horses can have some of the same issues as people do, I think, that way, too.
For sure. So we do want to vaccinate our horses prior to the mosquito season starting. So eastern encephalitis, western encephalitis, some people call the sleeping sickness. That's a pretty standard vaccine. In our area, we use it once a year. West Nile is always around, and so that's something absolutely that we need to be doing as well.
Now, are these zoonotic? I mean, can they transfer from horses to people or vice versa, some of these?
Great question. Again, we will see eastern and in humans. We'll see West Nile in humans. Horses are considered dead-end host. In other words, the level of virus in their bloodstream is not enough for a mosquito to pick up to transmit to another animal. So when we see cases of eastern, however, in horses, and horses are more sensitive to eastern than people are, then we know that there is a increasing risk of a getting eastern from the mosquito population and sylvatic wildlife. And so certainly being cognizant of mosquito exposure in people would be important. But no, horses aren't going to be zoonotic to humans with those diseases.
Understood. 537-1350 if you have any questions for Dr. Beard before we let her go. But anything else as we're in the spring season, just general suggestions of taking care of those horses? We got luckily through the winter months. Wasn't too severe a winter, I guess, for horse owners out there. But anything else you're wanting to add today, Lori?
Yeah, so one of the things we're talking about vaccines a little bit. So we do the core vaccines. We talked about West Nile, Eastern, and Western, and West Nile. Those are vaccines we should absolutely be administering to our horses. Included in that would be rabies. I have seen 4 horses with rabies my years here at K-State. And tetanus would be another one. All of these are excellent vaccines, very low risks, and the diseases are devastating. Influenza and equine herpes virus 1 and 4. The clinical signs we see those are less severe. These are horses that are going to horse shows, barrel races, trail riding, getting exposed. So in that situation, if you're using your horses a lot, I'd certainly recommend herpes and influenza. If you've got 2 older horses in your field that maybe go nowhere, like mine do, I'm going to give the core vaccines, but do I need to give influenza and herpes? Probably not.
And you mentioned rabies, which it sounds like it must be fairly rare if you've only seen, say, 4 cases in your career, but I'm guessing just, you know, wild animals, whether it be what, raccoons, skunks?
Yeah, so raccoons, skunks, opossums would all be sources of rabies. And so, yeah, 4 cases, I think, in 13 years isn't that many, but it is zoonotic. And so there's a worry when you're handling any animal with rabies that potentially a human could get it. So the cases that we've had usually have resulted in potential exposures for the owners, the handlers, the veterinarians, the veterinary students, those sort of things. So it is something that and rabies is fatal. And so it is something that, gosh, why take the risk? It's not a very expensive vaccine. I really recommend it to your horses. It's a peace of mind.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Lori Beard, with us today. And, of course, again, she's with the K-State Veterinary College Clinical Professor and Section Head Equine Medicine and Surgery. We'll take a break. Habitat for Humanity next on the agenda. Melody Sexton, Roxanne James will be joining us to tell us about some upcoming events. And you're listening to In Focus on News Radio KAMAN.